Who's excited for God things? Amen. Yes. Man, we want to keep pressing into what Jesus is doing. And that's the whole goal, just being with him. It's not just about getting to heaven. It's about being with him here on earth. It's about inviting him into our lives and living out this Christ life on earth. That's why we gather. Christianity is not a solo sport. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. You're here this morning. But we need each other. So we're so excited to be together. We got through the last few weeks going through Easter stuff. And so now we're back in 2 Peter again and talking about this progression. And well, actually, let's just read it. Since we have it up on the screen there, we're going to read it. 2 Peter, starting in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Amen? Everything we need through his promises, through our knowledge of him, who's called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires, for this very reason, add to your faith goodness. That's what we talked about last time. Arete. That was probably 3 weeks ago. That Greek word arete, this moral excellence, this goodness, this top level behavior. Arete is what that word was. So add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection or brotherly kindness, and to mutual affection love. And so all of these things are to be added to our life. And today, the one that we are talking about today is knowledge. We're adding these things, not that Christ is lacking, but these are all ways that we are expressing and experiencing. So expressing and experiencing the life of Christ. Are you with me? So these are all these things that we are adding to our life are either characteristics of Christ or ways to encounter Christ. We're adding them to our life. Not that the work that Christ did when we got saved wasn't enough. It's that we're becoming more Christ-like. We're being sanctified. There's a church word for it. Church word time, sanctification. It's one of those big church words that you might have heard before, but nobody knows what it means. It means becoming more like Christ on the process of it. The getting saved happens in a second. The being saved happens in a lifetime. Amen. Yeah. Amen? You weren't a Christian, then you were. You were a sinner, then you weren't. You still sin, but that's getting less and less as the second part of that, sanctification, as the becoming Christ-like, becoming aware of who he is in us, the power of God that's resident in us, the Holy Spirit that's moving in us, the Word of God that's dwelling in us. We become more and more. Someone's getting excited today. The more and more we look like Jesus, that's what this section of Scripture is about in 2 Peter. Add to. Be more like Jesus. Not try harder. Add to. Add what you've already been given. Put it into practice. Amen. All right? Amen. It's like you've, let's say, I don't know, juggling. Anyone seen a juggler before? Here, who's got some? I can't juggle. Taylor can. He's not here today. If you've got a bucket of juggling balls. I don't even know what they call them. Balls. And so you're juggling three balls, right? You've already got all that you need in the bucket. So now we're adding two. It's not that we're trying harder. It's like we're expanding the demonstration, the participation. We're adding two. They're already been given to it. We don't have to go out and purchase more juggling balls, whatever they're called, objects. But they're here already. So that these things are already given to us. They're already purchased by Christ. So now we're adding today knowledge. All right. You might enjoy this next part. This is going to be shotgun rapid fire, okay? So everybody put on your machine gun hats. Rapid fire. Knowledge. Say knowledge. Knowledge. Okay. The average cloud weighs over 1 million pounds. Australia is wider than the moon. Venus is the only planet to spin clockwise. It would take 19 minutes to fall to the center of the Earth if you could dig a hole that deep. 90% of the world's population lives in the northern hemisphere. McDonald's once made bubblegum-flavored broccoli. Knowledge. Your brain burns 400 to 500 calories each day. Animals can be allergic to humans. It's illegal to only own one guinea pig in Switzerland. So if you're near future plans included moving to Switzerland and you were going to take your pet guinea pig, you're going to have to get another one because it's illegal for you to just have one. A real name for a hashtag is called an octothorpe. Your fingernails grow faster in the summer heat. Lemons float in water, but limes sink, and bananas are slightly radioactive because of the potassium. Knowledge. Add to your faith knowledge. So we can go home now because we've added knowledge, right? We had two whole slides of things that I would guarantee the vast majority of you did not know when you walked in this morning. You guys now have more knowledge. You have more knowledge. Yes or no? You have more knowledge. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Is that what the Bible verse is talking about? Not really. No, it's not really talking about that. So we can add knowledge in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of times church people will add knowledge. We'll just add facts. And that's okay. And that's good. That's not a bad thing. It's good to know, you know, the context. It's good to know church history. Like, we really need to know those things. But in the context of becoming more Christ-like, that's what I'm at. So I don't want to belittle the facts. But in the context of me on the inside becoming more like Jesus. Are you with me? The context of 2 Peter is sanctification. It's you becoming more like Christ. You're already saved, but now it's this whole entire work, not works, not doing something to get salvation. You're already saved. It's this work of you joining with the work of Christ in you, what God's already wanting to do, you partnering with him to see this work of God. Now you're adding to it. And Peter even says, make every effort. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. That's not a little request. That's like all that's within you. Work as hard as you can. And it doesn't mean to work it up. It means to implement what you've already been given. Jesus paid for all this stuff. Jesus provides all this stuff. We join with him. So the effort comes with us not resisting this and saying yes to it. That's what make every effort to not be pulled away from this stuff, but be, not this stuff, but you know, the stuff that used to be on the screen in 2 Peter, the adding to our faith. And so we're talking about knowledge. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Greek word gnosis, knowledge, gnosis. Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorite commentators, he says, the word here, used here, suggests practical knowledge or discernment. It's kind of like, it's not exclusively, but it's kind of, the word knowledge here is kind of like wisdom. It's being able to use the information in a way that is helpful. Listen to this sentence. It refers to the ability to handle life successfully. Can I get an amen? Has anybody ever wished you had more ability to handle life successfully? Has anyone ever had a moment ever in your life where you're like, I am not handling life successfully today? Nobody. Okay, praise God. Well, in the Snaza house, we've had those moments where we're not handling life successfully today. And we usually chuckle about it and we'll move on and God makes up the difference. But it's the ability, it refers to the knowledge. Knowledge means that I'm gonna understand how to walk through life well with Christ in me. It's the opposite of being so heavenly minded as to be of no earthly good. It means to take heaven's offerings and make them practical for today. Make them work in my life right now. This kind of knowledge does not come automatically. We said that already. It doesn't just happen. It comes from obedience to the will of God. In the Christian life, he just kind of closes out this section. He says, in the Christian life, you must not separate the heart, the mind, the character, and not like it's all integrated. So we're adding to our faith goodness, this virtue, this moral excellence. And then on top of that, or along with that, we're adding knowledge, this knowing of how to use the goodness, knowing of how to use our faith, knowing of how to use this life in Christ. How does it look for me to really interact with you guys as Christ followers? How does it look for me to go to work as a Christ follower? How does it look for me to be a disciple? That's the kind of knowledge we're talking about. That's what we want to add to our faith. It's not just believing God and really believing God, signing the blank, you know, promises of God or yes and amen, and then not having any character to back that up. It's building this framework to carry what God's already poured out upon us. And that's what That's what this section is talking about. Some more definitions here. Robert Harvey says, the knowledge meant here is discernment and discretion. Wise practice in daily life of what one has learned of God's will. Let me read that last section again. It's wise practice in daily life. Say daily life. Yeah. This is just living. Knowledge is how to live out this Jesus thing. It's wise practice in daily life, listen, of what one has learned of God's will. Taking this kind of knowledge, gnosis, means taking the information and being able to use it, utilize it, walk it out. God doesn't ask us, Mark DeHaan. Anyone ever heard on hearing on the radio, Mark DeHaan? I always thought that was a funny name. And what are they saying? Are they saying Marky Han, Marky what? What? I could never, and I saw it written out. I'm like, hey, that's that guy. So I don't know who this guy is, but he was in one of the commentaries. I'm like, they quoted him, and they're like, oh, Mark DeHaan, I know that name. Did this quote's from the things we have, Our Daily Breads. So this comes out of one of those, but it's Mark DeHaan. He was on a radio thing or something, wasn't he? Okay, anyways. Never mind our conversation here. Jim and I are just talking about Mark DeHaan. God doesn't ask us to increase our knowledge for the sake of knowledge. It doesn't matter that you know it takes 19 minutes to fall to the center of the earth. This other kind of, this gnosis, he said, he asked us to increase our understanding so that we can grow into God-centered, loving, productive people. That's why we should want to know. That's why we want to know the knowledge. So let's peer in one more Bible verse here. And look at Paul's prayer. We've had this up on the screen at different times past in our Philippians series for sure. But we're peeking into Paul's prayer for the people, the church of God in Philippi, the city of Philippi. So there's a church, like a church in Sicily, you know, there was a church in Philippi that had gotten started. And Paul was praying for them. How cool would it be to have the Apostle Paul pray for you? Wow. Right? You get to look at, that's what I was saying earlier today. Man, some of the stuff we kind of just take for granted. We lose the awe of what is really going on. These were real people, and Paul was a real person who really heard from a real God and had inspired scriptures. So this became part of our scriptures now, but it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. We want our prayers to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're not going to become part of Scripture, but we want them to be breathed by the Holy Spirit. Here's one of those prayers. Philippians 1, 9 through 11, Paul says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in what? Knowledge and depth of insight, so that you'll be able to, hold on, hold the phone, Jack. This is what these commentators were just talking about the 2 Peter verse, about gnosis. So that you'll be able to discern what's best. Knowledge will let you in your daily life do the best thing. Follow the will of God. Like more closely represent Jesus. And that you, the second thing that you would be able to, when your knowledge increases, you'll have discernment. You'll be able to discern what's best. And the second thing is you'll be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So this knowledge is helping us. What the knowledge that we're adding, this gnosis, this understanding is helping us live out this daily life. So we've got this faith, add to your faith. So we've got the faith of God, right? Promises of God there, yes and amen. And the end result of this is that we're going to look more like Jesus. So we've got this faith, which is the starting place. I trust that Jesus is not only going to get me to heaven, but bring heaven to earth in and through me. Right? And then we add to that faith. It's not just faith. It's not just believing, but there's character involved. We're going to add to our faith goodness, right? So there's this moral virtue, this excellence of virtue, which is what he's talking about, being pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And then we'll be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Remember again what knowledge is. These are a couple, pieced together a few from earlier, practical knowledge or discernment. It's the ability to handle life successfully. How many want the ability to handle life successfully? Come on. Discernment, discretion. Anyone ever just made a quick decision and you're like, oh, why did I say, what? Oh, man, that was dumb. Who in here has had the, well, that was dumb moment? Many times, right. many times today. So discernment and discretion, we want that. Discernment and discretion is the thing, is the buffer zone for the, oh, that was dumb moment. It gives you some breathing room between the yes and the that was dumb. Discernment is the little red flag that goes off in your head. Is like, discernment is the wife inside of your head you didn't know you needed. She will appreciate that one. Wise practice in daily life of what one has learned of God's will. So there are times, I know and I understand, and you don't complain, but I can see it in your eyes. I can feel your pain. I know your disappointment in me. When I read too many quotes, today is going to be one of those days. I feel like I'm reading an entire chapter. It's not, I can promise you, because I highlighted most of the chapter and I didn't put them all in slides. And this is a book from Dallas Willard. We quoted him when we were doing our series on the soul. And it's from his book, On Knowing Christ. And so some Dallas Willard quotes. So I kind of want to say I apologize, but I kind of don't, because I want to read you this whole book, and I won't. But we'll read what we have today, and then there's kind of a cool little thing that, kind of a interactive, it doesn't matter. We'll get there when we get there. But Dallas Willard, I said to this when we're, I told you this when we were doing the series on the soul. I can't remember the other pastor's name that wrote the other book that I quoted all the time. He was good friends with Dallas Willard, and his famous line is, I just think that when Dallas Willard died, Dallas Willard has passed away, but he said, I think when he was still alive, he said, I think when Dallas Willard dies, it's gonna take him a couple days to realize that he's dead, because he walks so close with Jesus. Amen. That's the goal of 2 Peter. And that's the heart of what Dallas Willard is writing in these quotes that I'm going to share with you today on knowing Christ, walking with Christ. It's that intimacy and that closeness of walking with Jesus and becoming like Jesus. If you guys ever, know, maybe you've been one of these people, but you ever known like a best friend that becomes more, the two people that are best friends become more and more alike, and they end up saying things that the other one would say, and they react like the other one, like you're still your separate own person, whatever. Or husbands and wives end up kind of looking more like each other as they get older and acting more like each other, and then they get pets that look like this. Weird. Getting old is weird. Yes. So Dallas Willard on Knowing Christ. Let's do a few of these. He says this. How then are we to enter it? Obviously, I'm stepping in the middle of a chapter here, but he says, how are we to enter into this interactive relationship of knowing Christ? So add to your goodness knowledge. So that's what we're talking about. This interactive relationship of knowing Christ. That is life with him in the kingdom of God. That's kind of a key phrase that Dallas is always talking about. Life with him in the kingdom of God. He says, and this is just a little nugget out of this chapter, but he says there's two preliminaries, two things that have to be done. Like if you're gonna expand this knowledge of Christ, this walk with Jesus in the kingdom of God, and these aren't the only two things, but this is Dallas's book, so I'll just read it how he wrote it. He says there's two things that you need to know or do or kind of have a prerequisite. Like a prerequisite for driving a car legally is having a license and a set of keys. If you don't have either of those, you're not going to do it legally or well. You might have the license, but if you don't have, your car's not going to start. You know what I'm saying? So these are some prerequisites to walking, to knowing Jesus. He says number one is humility. And the church said, amen. Everyone gets rowdy when we talk about humility. You guys love that stuff. I love that stuff. The first one, he says, very simply, we must humble ourselves and become like little children. That means we must be turned around or converted from the normal human attitude, the attitude that says we are in charge of our life and we are quite competent and capable of managing it on our own. Whoo, church, are you with me? Like we already got our money's worth from Dallas today. Only the humble person will let God be God. So if I'm going to know Christ, if I'm going to add knowledge to my faith, if I'm going to become more Christ-like, if I'm going to get this practical discernment, I'm not going to get discernment and wisdom if I already think I know it all. I'm not going to become more like Christ if I'm arrogant enough to think that I'm all that already. Why would I want to be less of the awesome me that already is here? Do you get it? That's why humility is a prerequisite. If you want to look more like Jesus, if you want to add knowledge that will help you succeed in life, key number one before you even start that journey is humility. And that's such a great prayer. God, help me be humble. Help me to walk in humility. Help me to live that out. Help me to have an attitude of humility. So humility is only the humble person will let God. I love that. I'm just stuck on this one. The attitude that says we are in charge of our life and that we are quite competent and capable of managing it on our own. We think that way. And anyone that knows us closely says that's not true. That's not true. I know you think that, but you need Jesus. I know you know Jesus, but you need to know Jesus. Amen? God, you guys are on board today. I like this. Number two, Dallas says, is inward rightness. He explains it. He says, the second preliminary to entering the interactive life with Christ is the decision and the settled intention carried into practice, meaning lived out, to become good or righteous on the inside in the hidden dimensions of the self that make up human character, not just in action or outward behavior. He's got another slide that expands on this a little bit more, but it means add to your faith this, goodness. He's like, in order to become more Christ-like, in order to get knowledge, you first have to have goodness. As he doesn't phrase it like that, but you need to know that you can't just change your actions. You can't just be a better person. You can't just do less bad stuff if you want to be like Christ. Certainly, if you're like Christ, you'll do less bad stuff. Are you with me? Yep. But doing less bad stuff doesn't get you to the starting place. It's a fruit, not a cause. Hold on. It's a fruit, not a cause. If I can get the wheels on my tires to smoke and make squealing noises, then that must mean I have a big engine. Well, no, because like in the movies, they put bleach on them or something or whatever they do. We tried that in high school. It didn't work. But, you know, whatever. But you could fake it. I could put a really powerful something, other kind of motor, and just squeal them. That doesn't change my motor in my car. You know what I'm saying? I could take all the weight out of it so that it got really light. My motor didn't get bigger. That's what he's saying here. You know, we're not just trying to change our actions. We're not just trying to work it up. Jesus needs to do something on the inside of me. Give me moral goodness deep in the parts of my heart that I didn't know that needed it. That's what Dallas is saying. I have to have this desire for inward rightness. Like, Lord, I want to be like David prayed. I want to be pure and blameless before you. See if there's any wicked way in me. Like that kind of thing. Not so I can hope to get to heaven. We already solved that. Add to your faith. That already begins with faith. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about becoming more like Christ. I need to have a desire for inward rightness. Starts with humility. And once I can see that maybe I'm not all that, I can't stop there either. I also have to go, God, I want to make sure that I'm carrying your goodness in the parts of my heart that might be hidden or closed off. In the inside of me, help me to have inward rightness. Dallas goes on about this subject, and he says, this is what Jesus called going beyond the goodness characteristic of the scribes and Pharisees. He said that unless your goodness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of the heaven. Entering the kingdom of the heavens, as here spoken of, is a matter of being interactively engaged with the kingdom of God in your life right now. He says, to know Christ in the kingdom of God, we must abandon ourselves to a total transformation of who we are on the inside to taking on the character of Christ. How? Through living with him day by day and hour by hour. Only that is true trust in Christ. Like I said, there's a lot of Dallas quotes today. There's more coming. But he's saying, all right, if we're going to enter into this journey, we start with humility. You got to know that you don't got it all. You got to know that you're not the best manager of your life. Jesus is. You got to know that. And that only comes through humility. And you got to know that there's probably more work that needs to be done inside your heart. Let's let the goodness of God, his character, dwell in those places. Moral excellence in our hearts. The places that we didn't think needed it. He says, with these two preliminary, you get those two boxes checked? He said, all right. Then we grow in our knowledge of Christ. And in our knowledge of, he says, in our knowledge of Christ with us. By, first of all, listen to this line. A constant expectation of him in the place where we are. Wherever that might be. I'm going to read that line again. I want you guys to open your left ear, open your right ear, open the top of your head, open your heart, your spirit. Whatever can be opened, soak this in right now. Because we're talking about knowledge. It's this daily discernment and wisdom on how to live out the character of Christ in a daily application. He says this. All right, you get humility and inward rightness taken care of. Then what's going to happen is we grow in our knowledge of Christ by, listen, a constant expectation of him in the place where we are, wherever that may be. If I'm at Teals, I'll just be honest. Most days, my mind's on not forgetting the milk. All right. Well, let's put the milk on the app so that I don't have to spend mind space. And then let me be aware. Jim was talking about that yesterday. Let's be aware. Who did I just walk by that's hurting? Right? Who did I just miss a blessing that doesn't have enough money that I could have gave a can of beans to? Who, what opera, what? I did that last night. I'm like, I just stopped and said, all right, Jesus, what are you doing right now? What are you saying? What are you speaking to me? Not just to accomplish something, but no, like, where are you at? Like, I know where, you know what I mean. Where are you at right now, Jesus? He's not lost. That's not what I'm saying. But Jesus, where are you at right now? What are you doing? What do I need to be a part of right now? And he's saying, live in that expectation. Expectation. Right? Expecting that Jesus is going to show up and speak with you and speak through you and speak to you and use you and dwell with you and nudge you. Right? He's going to do that. I expect that he's going to do that. He calls it, I'm just going to say, Stephen's going to love this. He's not here today. But when he watches this, he's going to be really excited. He calls it the sacrament of the present moment. That's delicious. If you're at all a wordsmith, your heart pitter-pattered a little bit and your stomach growled and I want to taste a little more of that phrase. The sacrament of the present moment. It's this moment. It's like God not in the... Yes, God is in the future. There's hope of the future. But God's in this moment right now. This present of being present. In this is a sacrament. This is a holy thing that I get to carry out every day. It's knowledge. It's the knowledge of God, of what he's doing right now. Carrying that out. The sacrament of the present moment, as it is sometimes called, is from the human side, nothing but the invocation, expectation, and receptivity, open hearts, of God's presence and activity, where we are, and in what we are doing at any given time. That's a lot of words. They're not too big of words, though, but you can follow this. If I can do it, I know you can do it. The sacrament of this present moment, as it's sometimes called, is from our side, it's the invocation, it's the speaking out and kind of inviting it. It's the expectation. Like, I'm expecting God to show up in this moment. And it's the receptivity. Is my heart open? Is my spirit willing to be part of what Jesus is doing in this moment? And receptivity of God's presence and activity where we are and in what we're doing at any given time. When I was putting those cabinets together on Thursday, I was not any of this. There was no receptivity. There was no awareness. There was like, oh, man. pray for your pastor. He needs Jesus in the worst way. But I do know that I have a renewed commitment to live this out. Like, all right, Jesus, in those moments, we're going to take a step back. I want knowledge. I want discernment and discretion of how to handle this moment, how to handle my emotions right now. Only way to do that is invite you into this moment. What are you doing? What are you saying right now, Jesus? Jesus, how are you feeling about how I'm handling? Are you with me? Jesus, how are you feeling about how I'm handling this present moment? That's a nugget. Jesus, how are you feeling about how I'm handling this present moment? Because I want whatever happens next to be gauged off of Jesus' answer to that little prayer. Can you pray that this week? Jesus, right now, how are you feeling about how I promise you, you'll get a little nudge. Something will pop into your mind. I don't know if the Lord spoke to me, but all of a sudden I knew I needed to repent. That's probably the Lord, right? How are you feeling about how I'm handling this present moment, this moment right now? That's pretty good, Pastor. Thanks. That's good. I think that was the Holy Spirit, because that's not on my notes. I think that was the Lord giving that to you. I receive. Amen. He says, then we steadily grow in graceful interactions. Maybe this doesn't move you, but Dallas Willard moves my heart. I don't know. Sometimes I have a hard time reading his writing, but this little nugget, this chunk of writing based off of the scriptures in 2 Peter, he says, then we steadily grow in graceful interactions. Jesus is just pouring out favor and grace as we're asking him, how do you feel about how I'm handling this moment? He doesn't stand there, I don't feel very good about it. He might feel that way. He's going to give us a graceful interaction of how to correct that. Graceful interactions with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We gradually take up all of our life into the Trinitarian life, into the life of Christ. Whew. I don't know. Maybe this is like whatever to you today. I'm having a God moment, okay? This is just rich stuff. Let it just soak in your soul this morning. I want to know about God. I want to know God. So let's pause for a second. No more Dallas Willard for a minute. This is, if you Google or if you read a book on how to learn something new, this is how we're wired. I'm going to give a bunch of tips that the Google and some articles that I read gave me. And I know this to be true because I've added new things to my life. And these are just tips. And so if someone writes a book on how you can learn something new, they're not inventing that. They're identifying how we're built. That's what I want to get across to you today. Are you with me? So if you're going to learn how to do woodworking or how to cook or how to crochet or whatever that was, how to play football, right? All of these are practical. And it's how we're built. It's how God designed us. So these writers are just identifying. So they don't have to be Christian. They just observe and identify, oh, if we do this, seems like everyone learns a lot better when they do that. Because God created us that way. So we're just going to list off a couple of them. So if we want to learn to, I don't know, I may use cooking or woodworking. Who knows? We'll find out. But if we want to learn something new, these are all tips, ways that we can be better at or more effective at learning something new. You have to prioritize learning it. Someone said yesterday at our men's meeting, intentions. I've had intentions my whole life. But you got to make it a priority. You got to do it. You got to make it a priority. I've always wanted to learn how to speak French. When did you start wanting to learn that? Well, that's probably about 4 or 5. How old are you now? 63. It's not a priority. It's a want. Nothing wrong. There's no condemnation. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you want to maximize your ability to learn something, to get knowledge, you got to prioritize. All right. Okay. There's a lot of things that need to happen this week, but all right, I need to prioritize learning how to cook or we're going to get really hungry. Okay? So what do I need to do? You have to make it a priority. What else do we need? You got to practice it daily. Come on. You're not going to learn how to cook if you take one lesson for 5 minutes right now, and then 2 years from now, someone comes in and gives you another 5 minute lesson. You're going to be eating a lot of ramen noodles and SpaghettiOs. How many of you have ever, let's add this one to it because it's kind of the same, but it's different. Make it a habit. If you're going to learn something new, you got to make it a habit. You got to like change your habits. And I used to do coding on computer. I built websites and did that as a side business for a little bit. And I would talk with my friend who is also a coder. And he got out of some of that because we both felt the same way. We would learn a language. I learned I can't even remember the name of it. It's the backside, the server-side language. Nope. I don't have it. It doesn't matter. So knew some of the HTML, and I knew a lot of CSS. So I was the formula one for the most websites, PHP. So I spent 200 hours learning PHP, and so I could dabble a little bit in doing some backside, we call front side and backside, doing some backside stuff. 3 months go by, I haven't coded in PHP. I don't even know how to write hello world, which is kind of the first thing that you do when you start PHP. I don't even remember how to do that anymore because I don't do it daily and I don't make it a habit. And so I was talking with my friend and he's like, he did some really high level coding stuff for people. And he said, I got out of it because if you don't use it for a couple weeks, you forget it and you have to relearn all of that stuff because now they've got a security issue on this kind of system. And so we both felt that pressure. If you don't practice it daily, if you're not always using it, you forget it. You lose it. So if you want to know something, if you want to learn something, if you want to learn how to cook, cook every day. Good thing, we eat every day. So that's all right. Learn it with others. If you want to learn something new, Jim, get a buddy. Yep, get a buddy. Find someone to learn it with, and it's going to stick. It's going to stick. You're going to have conversations about it. You're going to look forward to it. Talk about it in everyday life. You ever know someone that's learning something new? It becomes a part of every one of their conversations. I love food, and I do love to cook, and I'm always trying to learn, so that comes up often. I'm like, ooh, hey, what did you make that other? Oh, what did you put in there? How do you get that? I'm like, okay, yeah. Hey, oh, woodworking, all right. How do you get that round over on that deal? Do you use the shaper or router bit? Oh, yeah? Okay. It becomes part of your... I'm not woodworking right now, but I'm having the conversation. I'm just in my daily life. I'm on the way to work talking to a friend, and, oh, the conversation comes up. Yeah, what have you been doing? Oh, let me tell you what I've been doing. It's just a part of your... You integrate it. If you're learning something new, integrate it into your everyday life. Learn it with others. Talk about it. Do the things. Here's what the Word of God says about this. I threw these in there because it's the right point, but I hadn't kind of come to the conclusion yet. So I need to bring this. We're going to talk about a few more of these practices. But did you know that these same practices are how we become disciples of Christ? It's how we learn something. It's how we add to. It's how we change what we do. You prioritize knowing Christ. Well, I go to church because the pastor says I should go. That's not a priority. Come on, man. What do we do? This is a paramount thing in my life. We practice it daily. Jesus said, give us this day our... How often do you need daily bread? Daily, right? Practice the ways of the Lord daily. Make it a habit. Anyone ever read the Bible for a season and then you missed a day and now it's been like 3 years? Don't raise your hand. It's been like 3 years. Why? Because you don't love Jesus anymore? No, it's not a habit. You don't make it a habit. Make it a habit. Let habits work for you. Learn it with others. Go to church. Come on. It's not a solo sport. Talk about it in everyday life. Talk about Jesus somewhere else other than at COC. If you're becoming like Christ, it'll leak out of your mouth.
That's right.
Hold on. Someone won't have to pry your lips open and say, tell me something about Jesus. It'll just come out. And so the Word of God says this, Ephesians 5, 15 through 19. Well, the point is, talk about it in everyday life, kind of doing this with others. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Oh, it's almost like that's talking about knowledge, right? This discernment, this everyday life. Making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Don't be foolish. Oh, that really fits with knowledge. But understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. It's just weird when you do that, but it spills over into everyday conversation, right? Jerry does that. It's just weird as beans, but I love it. I'm like, I need to do that more. And he'll just start quoting a scripture. He'll just start singing a song to the Lord. As we're just, like, Jerry, we're just talking about my new dog that I got. And he'll just, oh, the Lord is good and the land is full of his bounty. I like that. I love it, actually. And it challenges me to, I want to do this verse. I want to do what this is saying. Why? Because it helps me become like the Lord, because I'm adding to my goodness knowledge. Another verse, Colossians 3, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. Do it, whatever you do, that kind of goes back to that sacred presentness. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, expect the presence of the Lord. That's how we add knowledge. Talking about, let's go back to the list. Make it fun. Come on, guys. I said this to our men yesterday. If your walk with Jesus stopped being fun, we need to start expecting some more supernatural holy moments. We need to start just leaning into Jesus a little more. It's less about the hard stuff and more about the vibrant life of Jesus in us. Set aside a specific time to learn it. We would call that in the Christian world doing your devotions, right? Morning or at night. Like, take a time. This all comes from just secular, how do you learn stuff better? It's almost like Jesus knew what he was doing when he said, become a disciple. Do these things, and you'll learn. Incorporate note-taking. I'm watching a number of you this morning type and write. Try different methods of learning it. Put on a podcast. Put worship music on in the car. Have a little group session where you discuss it. Talk about it in your family, right? Try different methods of learning. Get a workbook. You know what I mean? Different methods. And last one, teach someone else. Teach someone else what you're learning. I know we're going a little long, but I want to finish these up because there's rich stuff in here. If we do all these, our life in Christ is going to be vibrant and full and fun and enjoyable. Imagine if you put these in practice, okay? Let's talk about Jesus. Hey, I want to learn more about the Lord's desire to heal the sick. You ever prayed for the sick before? I don't know. I never have. Have you? I don't know. Well, pastor says you can. Jesus says you can. Should we? Should we? I don't know. Let's try it. And you do it with someone else, and you make it fun, and you take notes. All right, May 18th. Prayed for Frank, didn't get healed, right? And you start looking back at your notes. Pretty soon, you're discouraged, and you look back a year, and you're like, oh, that's right, they got healed. Oh, that's, what did we learn from that? You discuss it. It's bleeding into your everyday life. Oh, hey, did you know the other day we prayed for this guy? Yeah, he had a hurt shoulder. All of a sudden, he was just like, hey, he feels great. Just incorporating this into your everyday life. Back to Dallas Willard. We have to learn to do the things that eliminate distractions. Our Bible study yesterday was on undistracted, being undistracted. Eliminate distractions and keep our whole being focused upon constant companionship with Christ in our nows, our right now. You got a life full of nows. Where's Jesus at in your nows? We're just about done. Finishing up. One more slide. In this way, the life of a disciple of Jesus takes its individualized shape. You become like Jesus how you're supposed to. And to come to him in faith is to enroll as his disciple. It is constantly to go to school under his teaching, his tutelage, under Jesus. Last one. Anything less than that simply misses him and reveals we don't actually have faith in him. But as disciples, our faith grows as our knowledge grows. As this daily interaction with Christ and with followers of Christ and talking about it and learning in new ways and teaching others and experimenting and just trying things with the Lord and saying, Jesus, how do you feel about how I'm handling this moment right now? What would you change? How should I think differently? What should I stop? What should I start? Then have that conversation with a couple other people. You know, I asked Jesus the other day, how do you feel about how I'm handling this moment? And you want to know what the Lord said to me? It's been a breakthrough in my life. Or you want to know what said Jesus? I felt Jesus saying, that was really convicting. Or you want to know what the Lord nudged me to do? That was empowering. Let me tell you about it. And it's just spilling out of you. Guess what? In a month or 2 months or 10 months, you're going to look a lot more like Jesus. And you're going to add knowledge to your goodness. You with me? That's good stuff. Come on. Praise Jesus. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that you are available in this moment right now. God, and we lean into this moment. We say, come, Lord Jesus. Help us to recognize you, that you're speaking every moment of the day, God. You're leading and guiding, directing our paths, anointing us, filling us with life and power and goodness. And we add to our goodness knowledge today. Help us to do that. Help us to live it out. And help us to have fun doing it. We pray for a great week today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.